Good people of Oakland, please welcome W. Kamau Bell.
Yeah! What's up? Welcome to Kamau right now on KALW! Tonight we're broadcasting live from the new parish in beautiful Oakland, California. Our musical guest is Natronics. Give it up for Natronics! This show is all about what's happening right now. We have some very special guests to help us with that. Before we get started, give it up for yourselves for coming out of the house. You're real people out of the house. As we talked about earlier before we started the recording, black people went outside on OJ Day. The struggle is real, everybody. I tweeted earlier today, black people, be prepared for all the conversation from random white people. What do you think about that OJ thing? Oh my God, I'm in a time warp. We're going to talk about that and lots of other things. I'm going to bring our panel right up right away because there's so much to discuss. And also, we have an incredible, amazing panel tonight. We have artist activist Fabiana Rodriguez. Journalist, comedian, and activist Francesca Fiorentini. And the woman behind the musical project, Toon Yards, Meryl Garbus. Give it up for all three of them. And at Kamau right now, we want to hear from you listening on the radio and in the audience right here at the New Parish. As we say, tweet your thoughts, questions, and concerns to us directly at Kamau right now. Use the hashtag K-A-M-A-U-N-O-W, reading how to spell my name again. And if you hear disembodied voices, you're not dead. That's, we have our social media team of Becca Hookster and Maya Janelle. Give it up for them. Sit over here.
Hey, Kamau.
And like I said, we're going to get the show started. Also, special guest, my daughters are in the house. Yeah. So if you get depressed by what we're talking about, just look at all that adorableness up there, people in the house. That'll make you feel better unless you're really racist. Okay. Yeah, that is weird for me to say in front of my daughters. Yeah, you're right, everybody. You're right about that. Sammy and Juno! And let's get this show started. We have some amazing guests. My first guest is an interdisciplinary artist and cultural organizer. She serves as co-founder and executive director of Culture Strike, a national arts organization that engages artists in immigrants' rights and climate change. She is a recipient of the Robert Rauschenberg Artist as Activist Fellowship. She is focused on projects that help end mass incarceration. Please welcome, she can't do any more, everybody. Give it up for Fabiana Rodriguez. Fabiana, you're kind of like three guests already. I mean, we have more show, but thank you. Good for Fabi. Our next guest is a comedian, host, and producer of the show News Broke on AJ Plus, the digital outlet of Al Jazeera Media Network. Yep, there we go. Somebody. I said Al Jazeera. Here we go. She's a field correspondent with Explorer on National Geographic Channel, and she's a comedian who has performed at SF Sketchfest. Please welcome Francesca Fiorentini. Welcome, Francesca. My last guest began the musical project's Toon Yards almost a decade ago. As she tells it, she still doesn't know how to answer when someone asks what kind of music she makes. She has the pleasure of sharing Toon Yards with our musical guest, Natronics. Please welcome to the stage, Meryl Garbus. Welcome, Meryl.
Hi, Kamau.
Hi.
I've been listening to you so much these days.
Wow.
That this feels a little bit like a dream.
Oh.
Want to scoot in closer to me, maybe?
Yeah.
Give him some space.
Yes. It's too close.
It's starting on strong, Mal. Starting on strong.
I'm a big guy. I'm sort of in 3.5D. I'm like an extra, not just 3D, super HD. When you say listening to me, Meryl, do you mean my various projects and podcasts and
yes,
things?
You have so many. Come
I
out.
Do, I do, I do, yes. I was just making sure you said meant that, not like just outside my house, just the, just ear hustling.
Wait, I can pander too. Congratulations on the Emmy nomination, come out.
Thank you, Francesca. I don't consider that pandering. Yes, we were. United Shades of America was nominated for 2 Emmys. One of them, yes. Just like I always planned with my career. And the category I'm most sort of excited about is Best Host, because I'm up against, in no particular order, Alec Baldwin, Heidi Klum and Tim Gunn, RuPaul, the Gordon Ramsay, and the best, Martha Stewart and Snoop Dogg. So, yeah, let me just already state, it was an honor to be nominated. I'll just be there in the audience.
Matt, you just need to cook and drag. I think that's very simple.
If I start my drag cooking show, I can finally, I can't even get into that party, let alone be in that category. So yes, Fabiana, I'm going to talk to you. We ran into each other on a Southwest flight up from L.A. Yeah, that was you, me, and my wife, Melissa.
Yeah.
And we were in that. We were early on the plane. We were the first class of Southwest, the A group. Southwest first class, A1 through 15. Getting on the plane, looking at other people. Yeah, we paid $15 extra. Balling out of control on Southwest.
I thought that was anti-Southwest. Wasn't Southwest like the... the airline of the proletariat,
no, it used to be on Southwest. I'm glad you brought this up, because I have a lot of thoughts about this. On Southwest, it used to be about how early you got to the gate, then you got to get on first. And back in the day, I was single and had not a lot to do, so I was always A number one. My flight's at 8 in the morning, I'll get there 6 the night before. Bring a sleeping bag. But now, everybody wants to feel like they can get to some sort of extra service. So capitalism, once again, has ruined equality.
Once again,
yeah. Man, we knew that Southwest thing would turn so dark. Sorry, everybody. But Fabiana, you talked to me and my wife, Melissa, about this. You're heading to Burning Man soon.
Yes, I'm in full preparation.
And just to be clear with people who are listening, Fabiana Rodriguez, you are a woman of color.
Yes.
It's not like you're Whoopi Goldberg, where it's like, that doesn't make sense. It's just you're... So I always assumed, ignorantly so, I've been pulled, my cousin pulled, that Burning Man was a white people meeting.
Yes.
Can you talk to me about why we should go to Burning Man?
Yeah, so I actually lead one of the largest people of color camp at Burning Man. And when I went there, when I was first there about 6 years ago, and I was just able to, you know, ride on my bike, just take all my clothes off and just be free, I was like, damn, white people, y'all are keeping this to yourself. You know, I was like, how do these white folks keep this great, awesome, fun event to themselves? So I always feel that, you know, joy and pleasure and play are such critical things that we need. And as people of color, sometimes we just get stuck in, like, the pain. So I'm always about how do we have more time to have fun and feel pleasure. And so... for me, Burning Man is a place where I can just bring a lot of my friends, amazing people of color, especially women of color, especially black and brown women, to just enjoy, explore, get lost in the dust, you know, not worry, dump our cell phones. And
everyone's white in the dust. Yeah. I've seen it. I've seen the photos.
Yeah, we get to dress up in costumes, wear goggles, you know, have our fun bikes.
Did you change the dynamic? Sorry, I'm just gonna take
you
over.
You're a host.
You got another host.
Like, did the white people feel like you invaded their safe space? Butter.
Well, you
air
know,
quotes.
I mean, I have. We did have a lot of incidents where because we're like what I would call downtown playa. So you know, we got the great real estate because you know the people of color. We just got to have the good views and all that.
You gentrified Burning Man.
We gentrified it. Oh, that's exactly what we did. So there's been, you know, we're all kicking it. Usually it's hot, sunny. You know, we're having our little drinks and stuff. And this has happened so many times where you have people of color ride by on their bikes, and they're like, what? You know, there's some friends. Like, we have never seen so many people of color concentrated in the same space. So it's really important for us to have a presence, you know, because we are trying to create a safe space for the people of color, you know, because these are some of the most gatherings where a lot of people are coming together and doing, connecting in very amazing ways. And so I always feel like we need access to these cultural spaces as well, but we need it on our terms. So for
woman who has been to Burning Man a lot, Yodasa Williams. She's a 3-times burner and has been wholly transformed by her experience at Burning Man. And she sent me this article that I was reading, and like it sounded like most of the negative experience she had were from black people who don't go to Burning Man.
Oh, yes. Yeah. We call that people like myself.
Why?
Two things. Outdoors and get rid of your phone. What are you trying to do? Trick me? What's happening?
No, actually...
Go outdoors and don't bring my phone. That feels like...
I think it's also the idea of why would you light this man on, this burning man on fire? And then, Yodasa actually is a part of our camp, but there's so many people. The article that you shared earlier, Kamau, which is Burning Man becoming less white? Well, yes, the answer is yes, very slowly. But that's exactly what our camp tries to do, is that we're trying to really say, look, you know, if you're about radical inclusion, because that's one of the big mandates, one of the big desires of Burning Man is this principle called radical inclusion. Inclusion means all of us, you know, and it especially means everyone, especially people of color. So that's what I'm, you know, that's what my camp is about, is creating a place to play out in the dust, out in the desert, and to just try things you never tried before within a safe community.
All right. Give it up. The last thing I want to ask, is it true that I read this online, which means it was probably true to some extent, there's a theory that Jay-Z owns a part of Burning Man.
I don't think
so. Have you heard of that theory?
No, but I actually have seen many, many celebrities out there.
You have to pay a subscription to it, but like no one does.
This is way of getting people to finally buy titles.
Yeah.
Okay. So Meryl, you've been writing some new songs. Can you tell us about your new songs that you're excited about putting out to the world soon?
I don't know if I'm excited. I am excited. They're good songs. Well, I have been doing some work on my whiteness. And
she just came out as white, everybody. Give her some support.
For the radio listeners, I'm white, and so I'm writing these songs. I feel like I'm especially white because we have been we've been recording mostly in, you know, a basement studio in downtown Oakland where we have our rehearsal space, and so I'm probably like whiter than ever. And so I feel like this is the first time I'm about to release some of these songs. I write songs with Nate, who you heard before, and I'm in charge of the lyrics. So I think over time he realized what was happening, which was that a lot about white privilege and white supremacy and white fragility was coming out in the lyrics. So I'm in this, you're catching me in the vulnerable, but it's white privilege, isn't it, to choose whether I want to talk about my white privilege in pop music, you know what I mean, in and of itself. So anyway, this is all like me uncomfortably going like, what happens when I have songs about white privilege into the world? But that's what's happening. Yep.
Beautiful, Meryl, everybody. Let me give you all the respect in the world for calling out your white privilege in the middle of a white privilege moment. That's halfway,
bam, bam.
You're halfway there.
I'm trying.
If you just put that to song, I'll buy it. I'm on, yeah.
Do you find that you're like whinier when you're talking about white privilege? Like, is it a higher register?
My voice kind of gets like this. And then is it? It's going to be a great album, everyone.
It's a pitch only white people can hear. It's just sort of so high. Shut up.
Actually, The other day I was thinking about how it's only like in the last like 5-7 years we actually even have something like a reference, white fragility. Because back in the day, I remember, mm-hmm. I'm like, dang, what is this thing I'm experiencing? And now we can name it. And we have like different classifications of it. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like that's a gift, actually.
And for what? And for white, as a white person, it's a freaking gift, man. Yeah. I didn't say I swear. So it is a gift.
You're experiencing white.
Well, and just to have any kind of framework to go like, hey, maybe the way you're seeing the world isn't the way that everyone sees it. You know, like just some kind of education.
For the record, your voice got lower and you literally went lower to the ground for those people listening.
My favorite is white tears. I feel like that's a, yeah.
Somebody sent me a vial of white tears.
Really?
Yeah.
You tasted them, huh?
Yeah. It's funny, the thing, years ago, me and my friend Jason, who's a white guy, but also Jewish, so maybe depending on who's asking.
Yeah.
But we just said, like, we just sort of determined that every white person sort of acted like they were the assistant manager of the world. Excuse me, what's going on here? It was, and that was like, oh, that's white privilege. It's like always being like, let me interrupt you.
Take it upon yourself.
Yeah, take it upon yourself that you need to restock these shirts. I don't even work here. Francesca, woo, here we go. Okay, I'm gonna just let you take it from here since you're basically co-hosting the show at this point. So just talk about what you're interested in right now as I move further away from you. No, just kidding. No, go for it. I'm very interested to talk about that.
What am I supposed to talk about?
Okay, I'll read the card.
You want me to just tell you what's going on right now with me?
Well, I'm gonna say it because I don't want to miss it. What you told you is, I don't feel like I'm not asking this question.
You're getting very uncomfortable.
I'm getting very uncomfortable. Some male privilege is happening right now.
Okay, so.
Actually, some height privilege. Some 6'4" male height privilege is happening. So you're thinking about R. Kelly.
I'm thinking about R. Kelly's.
Which, don't act like everybody's not. Don't act like she's the only one who's been, yeah.
Don't groan. The more we groan, the more it doesn't go away.
So wait, Becca, could you read this article you threw up here?
If you're still an R. Kelly fan in 2017, you might be a worse person than R. Kelly.
It's pretty much true. I mean, I took, all the songs off my slow jam mix tapes playlist, pretty much, which was a big deal for me.
Yeah.
But then as you go through R. Kelly's songs, you realize they're all just warnings.
Yeah.
They're all just red flags, like... Yep. The song Bump and Grind, the chorus is, I don't see nothing wrong with a little bump and grind, which means someone saw something wrong. We all knew it was wrong. And so this week, of course, we know that women may or may not be being held against their, will in a couple of cities. And
there's a cult thing that he's being accused of having.
There might be a sex cult. Either they're consenting adults.
My kids, everybody, give it up for my kids who came to the show tonight.
Woo! But it also just like it's crazy male privilege too because he's still not a pariah. He's on tour. Like,
is he on tour now?
Yeah. He's got 4 new dates. Oh, yeah, he's still going.
So you've deleted the music, but you still have Google alerts on your phone for his tour.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. But I just feel, listen, Britney Spears, drove with her kid on her lap, and she became a pariah. R. Kelly has a sex cult, and it's like, So I feel like, there's a lot of male privilege going on. Also, a lot of the women are, young black women. And so one of the ones who spoke out was white. She said she was treated differently. So, there's a lot at play here. We don't have to talk. We just,
shut
our eyes, look away.
Not look away. R. Kelly is a trash person.
Okay.
Thank you.
Maya Janelle, everybody.
Do not look away.
Specifically hired because I needed more black up in the show. Yes. I need more black backup. Speak on it, Maya.
I'm sorry to bring it up on OJ Day. Sorry.
No. It's hard. It's every day is OJ Day. In my household.
Yeah, no. Black people, no more R. Kelly. No more R. Kelly. No more Bill Cosby.
It's a no.
It's been a hard week for black, not a hard week, it's been an interesting week for black male celebrities, I'll
it
say
has.
That.
Between R. Kelly, Kevin Hart cheating on his pregnant wife,
what?
Usher giving people STDs, like...
Also, the warning signs were there on that one. Love in the club, that's very unsanitary.
I mean, Let It Burn. We know what that was about now. We know what that was
love
about.
Love in the club and expect...
I mean, I sort of feel like, and I've said this sort of similar thing before, I may have said on the show, I feel like it's whatever you want, whatever media you want to take into your brain, you have to deal with your relationship with that media. Just don't defend it to other people is the other thing. So if you want to leave R. Kelly and your slow jams, just like, don't act like you have, you can explain your way through that thing. You know what I mean? So that's where I'm at with that. If you just tuned in, I'm W. Kamau Bell, and I've been speaking with Fabiana Rodriguez, Francesca Fiorentini, and Meryl Garvis. This is Kamau Right Now on KLW Live from the New Parish in Oakland. Welcome back to Kamau Right Now. Get up for Natronics. So there is a lot going on right now in the news. There's a lot happening on the Republican side of the aisle. We've talked about it before. We will talk about it again. But tonight I want to talk about the left side of the aisle, the Democrats. There's been a lot of talk that the Democrats don't really have a platform other than we're not Trump. And it seems like it's probably time to get a platform. And so as I was thinking about talking about that today, thank you, one person. Everybody was like, nope, I'm strong green. I'm strong green party in here. But then yesterday, as I was thinking about this, the Democrats sent out new bumper stickers and stickers that they're working on with new slogans that they want people to vote on. Becca, can you read some of these slogans?
Yeah, so some of these are just ridiculous. So we've got, like, resist persists. Okay, she persisted, we resisted, all right. Make Congress blue again because they can't come up with something on their own. And the best one, really, Democrats 2018. I mean, have you seen the other guys? Just real inspiring.
Clearly, this has really hit you people. Where, yay! So my question...
Can I just say, it looks like Mrs. Meyers Green Day, like that font. You know what I'm talking about? Like, it's very, like...
The weakest font ever.
Yeah. It's a little weak is
also,
the word.
Can we not make anything again? Let's just leave things the way... No more anything... Yeah.
Oh, that's
no
right.
I didn't even
realize the Make Congress Blue Again hit me in such a no place that I didn't realize it's an illusion to make America great again. Why would you want to do that? That's like making your slogan like parodying R. Kelly song. I don't see nothing wrong with a little turning the house over in 2018. Fabiana, what's wrong here? You're an artist. Well,
what's wrong is they're not presenting a vision for the world they want to see. Like, number one rule is, why do we always have to be reactive? We don't have to react to them. We actually have to set our own agenda and our own worldview. You know? Yeah. I mean, that's why, as an artist, this is why I get so frustrated with politics, because so often we're just reacting to messages that the opposition sets, and we're in a constant, like, you know, wheel just trying to spin our messages. When in reality, I think we need to be talking about the things we want. How do they feel? How do we experience them? What are the values? And I think it's really about changing the entire worldview, because the right, they have a very clear worldview on everything, from like what kind of sex they want you to have, what they want you to teach their kids, it's even what they eat, everything. So we need the same instead of just, you know, playing here and there.
Yeah, Democrats, a living wage.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like the other thing is, like, you can't have the slogan until you have the people who are getting the message out there. Like, this seems like
exactly.
The back-end way of doing this. Like, it's not like they came up with Hope and Change and went, like, we should find a black guy who can put that on.
Exactly.
But they...
You know what I mean? Like, they were like, they found the people, they found the guy, and they're like, and then they came up organically. I feel like I've been saying this a lot. I feel like the Democrats right now should be like the NBA was in the 80s. They just went to Africa looking for tall guys. They just went scouring the earth for tall people and then said, can you, and then put a basketball in their hands. Let's see what you do with this. And that's how we got like the Kimbe Mutombo and Akeem Olajuwon. Like, they need to be looking out for new people.
Well, and, right. But they don't even know what the measurement is. Like, they're not even looking for anything in particular. You know what I mean? Like, at least in the NBA, okay, tall, great. But Dems don't even have, like, you know, believes in human rights. Awesome. You know, or like, there's nothing. I actually, I went to D.C. and tried to pitch some of the Democrats on new slogans because we all know they do need a rebrand. I mean,
yeah,
this,
like what?
Yeah, I was going to say, did you?
So one of them like I pitched them on ones? Was just like a jingle, something like, ba-da-ba-ba-ba, Paul Ryan sucks. You know? Another one was like, maybe she's born with it. Maybe it's a social safety net. No. Barbara Lee was like, it's not gonna work.
Yeah, I want to be clear, Barbara Lee, there are a few Democrats out there who are doing it. Barbara Lee is one of those people. That's all I wanted to say.
Or
keep going with your slogans, I was enjoying
it. No, or just like a different, like, why the donkey, you know? It should just be like, you know, a T-Rex in a Che shirt or something cool like that. Something vicious.
Something that sells at Hot Topic, something that, like, yeah.
But you just said Democrat.
Because if you just put like a T-Rex in a Che shirt on a T-shirt and just put Democrats underneath, that would sell. You know what I mean? Like, you'd at least be raising some money. Sorry, Meryl.
No, I was just going to say, but you just said one, Democrats a living wage. I mean, did you give them real ones too? Because those are hilarious, but you could probably come up with like 18 better slogans than that, right?
One
now.
Of them was government's important, you moron, which I thought...
I do feel like basically what you're saying, Francesca, this is, speaks to, like, literally Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer came up with these. You know what I mean? Like, they didn't bring in the best comedy writers in the country. They, like, sat in the office just like, oh, let's crack open some red wine and think of some new slogans.
Well, even if you think about, like, even this whole metaphor of the wall, which, I mean, we don't even need a wall. The borders are really super militarized. But just this metaphor of we're going to build a big wall. It's very effective because people remember symbols. So what about something like tear down the wall or no borders or open it all up, you know?
Yes. Fabiana 2020, everybody. We've sort of talked about this through the show, but I feel like I care about this a lot, but maybe I'm the only one who really like had a whole flashback today. But the OJ parole hearing was today. Who by applause? Who watched it even though they knew they shouldn't have? Anybody by applause? Yeah, people covering their faces. Who actively steered clear of it? Yes, I cracked off a couple good tweets. Thank you for I'm promoting my Twitter account at WQL Bell. OJ at one point said, "I've basically lived a conflict-free life."
Oh gosh!
And I tweeted, "Really? Is that so? Speak more on that, Mr. Simpson." And then I said, as I said earlier, okay, then black folks get ready for random white folks to start conversations with you like, can you believe this OJ thing? First of all, let me say this. I think the OJ Made in American documentary is one of the greatest pieces of art in the history of all time.
So good.
Just happened to be about OJ, but I think Ezra Edelman, like, just is amazing, and I've watched it several times. I also watched all the FX OJ thing series. I have a fascination with this, and maybe it's just me, but I don't think it's just me. What are your thoughts on this whole OJ parole hearing and OJ Simpson? Basically, this means the 90s are back. That's what this means now.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, I did watch a little bit of the OJ Made in America, which I thought was fascinating, and I think it's something we should all watch. But I also feel like... I'm going to be honest. I think that also we have to look at, I mean, obviously we all know the complications with OJ. We all know that he did it. We all know that he was beating up on Nicole Brown. And I think that's something that it just goes back to the Chris Rock, you know, the white people too upset kind of thing, you know, and also, you know, white people asking black people, what do you think? What do you think? What do you think? Like they're supposed to excuse or like the, you know, or have some, the final word on this is ridiculous. At the same time, I'm like, I think it's all just water under the bridge. Actually, there. That's I said it. That's it. It's all done. It's all done. But I do feel like, is there ever going to be justice in the OJ case? Is there ever going to be justice for you know, Nicole's family? I don't think so. I think that's it's just done.
I guess the question is, why is it? I mean, I'm asking myself, why am I so fascinated with it? Why is America as a whole? I mean, every news network played OJ's parole hearing, and I saw other people tweet, most parole hearings last 5 minutes. And the defendant, the person in prison doesn't get to say that much. OJ was doing a monologue, like he. And so I think that's a part of it too. Like the criminal justice system still works differently for him. But what does it tell us about us that it's still so fascinating?
I mean, I'm just like tired of men running stuff. Okay, I feel like we live in a world. I'm just done. Where like violence against women is so normalized, and that we allow people to get away with it, and we create an entertainment culture around it. And I'm just like, get these fools out of power. Yeah. Like the and And also, just like on a data point, like, come on, we're living in times of war, of extreme sexual trafficking, and who's running shit? It's men. Obviously, they haven't done a good job. So it's time to take away their power. And to, you know, it's just that the data tells us that. And it tells us
the
that.
The data is clear on this.
Yes. And that we have just these fools who are normalizing violence, and that who just get celebrated and just. You know,
but also
so
I think what was so interesting about the OJ Made in America was that his, you know, his acquittal was retribution, seen as retribution for the Rodney King acquittals, right? And like OJ can't still be the fall guy for like the fact that there isn't justice in all these other police shootings of unarmed black people in this country. Like it can't just be like, well, OJ's off, so can we move on? You know, obviously that's not a thing. So I mean, I'm interested in how we go forward looking back on his trial and his life and be like, all right, well, how do we actually now reform the criminal justice system for, you know, the black people, but brown people who are in the parole system now, who are in prison right now, right? That's...
I think it starts with a bumper sticker that is... that says, I mean, look at the other guys. That's... I gotta be honest, I feel a little bit hosting the rest of the show, being the only man on stage, as Fabiana very clearly laid out that it's all men's fault. So, if you guys want to take it from here, I'm fine. Let's check in with the social media desk. Give it up for Becca Hoekstra and Maya Janelle. Becca, how's Twitter looking out there for us?
Oh, we were going to do Maya first, actually.
Oh, we'll do it. Maya, how's it going?
Hey, it's going. It's my story. So a tale of two cities is what I'm calling this segment here, about arsons happening in San Francisco and in Oakland. In San Francisco, in the Mission District, there's suspicions that landlords are setting fires to SROs and other buildings where long-term low-income residents live in order to burn them down and build condos that go for $8,000 a month for two-bedroom apartments in the Mission. And then, yeah, boo, right? Boo. Yeah. Agree.
Well, I guess we've unified on that. Okay. Even people who can afford that are like, boo.
And then across the bridge in Oakland, there have been five alarm fires recently ruled as arson by, I just want to say this bureau, Federal Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives. It's a lot in one bureau, but they ruled that there have been four major five alarm fires have been ruled as arson. People want to know what's going on. Is it an anarchist that's anti-gentrification? Is it accidents? Is it materials? But these are major developments that are close to being rented and being burned down.
So these are new buildings.
New buildings.
Okay.
New buildings in Oakland, old buildings in San Francisco. Everybody's still trying to find a place to live.
Yeah.
Seriously.
What are your thoughts on this, everybody? Or anybody in the audience have thoughts on this? I'm happy to look out here in the audience to see if somebody has thoughts. What'd you say? Somebody's pointing at somebody. Somebody's got their hand up. Jeremy, you're all in this.
I mean, how much do you want me to say?
Let's see, we got 25 more minutes in the show, so...
Well...
If it's good, we'll let you go. You know what
well,
I mean?
Well, no, I don't need to monologue you. I'm Jonah Strass. I run the Oakland Warehouse Coalition, and we've been advocating for affordable alternative housing since December 2nd, the date of the ghost ship fire. And then we also ran a, you know, in solidarity, we ran a $40,000 fundraiser, which is not much, but we're able to give $350 a piece to each of the survivors of the San Pablo 2551 San Pablo fire.
Thank you. That was pretty good. I'll let you go a little longer. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, I mean, in terms of, hey, who did it? I honestly, I don't think the insurance money works out for these guys to be burning down their own buildings or hiring somebody to do it. I think it is somebody with an axe to grind, but I mean, as far as I can tell, there's no like coalition to burn down the almost fully developed buildings. But there is a lot of venom in Oakland on the streets for these people who are just building straight up market rate housing and only maximum 15% affordable housing when the Planning Commission demands that they do it, which is very rare.
I live in the Mission, and I know that the fires there also, they're suffering in terms of looking at what happened, that there's not enough investigators, and there's not, and they're cutting, the budget cuts in the city are actually in impacting, like, the investigations into these super shady fires, you know, four-alarm, three-alarm fires that have happened in the Mission. And so, I mean, that's another thing. It's just like, who's holding anyone accountable for this, right?
And I would add, I've grown up in Oakland. I was born in Oakland. I've been here my whole life. I remember when downtown, after the earthquake, downtown was like nothing. It was all boarded up after the 89 earthquake. But anyway, I've never seen in my life, in my entire time here, just the number of homeless folks out there is dramatically increasing.
Yes, yes.
You know, it is like we are witnessing a class war. And I looked up today the prices of a median price in Oakland for a home. $820,000. And I have a lot of friends who are, you know, are trying to find places to live in Oakland. It's impossible. You're facing off with 20, 30 people. And I mean, I'm thinking to myself, at what point we are, the tensions, of course, are high, but just that we are, that there's so many people who just can't afford a place to live. It feels very urgent to me.
You know, when you ask homeless folks how many homeless people are on the streets in Oakland, they estimate about 6,000, and these are people who are on the streets every day. The point in time count as of February was 2,761, but that's only the people who are visible and available to be counted in shelters and such.
It's insane. And I just want to say, I hear a lot of white folks. I'm a white folk again. I hear that...
You won't let us forget it, everybody. Good for you.
Just to be clear.
No, don't go there now. You do it. Put the bass back in your voice. Move over to the floor like last time.
Okay, so let's get grounded here. But just it's extreme. I've lived in Oakland, I think, 7 years now. Almost 8 years. And seeing this city, I mean, this city is beautiful. And there have been some people radically suggesting to me, and this is what my next investigation into whiteness is, like, maybe it's white privilege, just saying, this is going to be radical, to live here. And maybe we should back off.
For reals. I agree.
leave it. I don't want to leave.
There's white people here like, I just got my apartment.
No.
Like, they're like, I would like to come with you, but have you seen the view?
And I know it's not. I mean, there's a lot.
Like, Merritt is so beautiful.
There's a lot more going on, but, you know, it's complicated, as people say. But at a certain point, you know, I had not been listening to communities of color in Oakland who are saying, please do not move into West Oakland.
Yeah,
and I think as white folks, we often have deaf ears. You know, we're just like, we're not paying attention to that stuff. So it's interesting as I, you know, and I'm walking this city and walking this earth as in this body and kind of going, what is the world that I want to see? And then what are the radical changes that I am willing to make? And I don't know. I mean, these are really tough questions. I don't have answers, but yeah.
Are you willing to let go of gourmet toast?
Avocado toast.
Avocado toast.
I don't eat bread, so I'm cool there.
Spoken like a white gentrifier right there.
Gluten-free.
We're going to have to leave it right there for now. I've been speaking with Fabian Rodriguez, Francesca Fiorentini, and Meryl Garbus. We will definitely hear more from them in a moment, but now it's time for a little more music. Give it up for Natronics! I wanted to ask, before we moved on, I wanted to ask if Jonah had any organization or anything that we should support to help help with your cause, or yeah, all our cause.
Yeah, sure. You know, I'll tell you, we've recently registered as 501c4 because we've only been around for about 8 months. So we're going to be doing some formal fundraising more towards the end of the year. But for now, if there's anybody out there who's a significant donor who would be interested in supporting the survivors of the 2551 San Pablo fire, they can certainly send it to us at donate@oaklandwarehousecoalition.org and make sure you just put a note in there that it's for the survivors of the fire.
All right, give it up for Jonah, everybody. He's talking to you people who are like, $8,000 a month, that's a deal. So let's check in with Becca at the social media desk. Becca, what's going on social media right now?
We have a lot of different people talking about those bikes that were just put up all around downtown Oakland. Oh, I see.
That's why I like this audience. You know exactly how you all feel about everything, from hisses to groans to...
It was actually kind of interesting because a lot of the response I got online was very positive. People were like, yeah, like, I like this program. Like, it's $5 a month if, like, you have low-income stuff. It's just kind of hard to get into, but, like, it's going to expand and it's going to be useful. So, like, I don't know. But Julia Schnell sent me this message on Facebook talking about kind of, because right now the bikes are only pretty much downtown. There's nothing in East Oakland whatsoever. So... they're also not in plenty of wealthy areas. They're just starting in the high-density mixed land-use areas. There are dueling narratives of bikes bring gentrification, we don't want them, and why didn't you put them near me, sometimes both from the same places.
Well, yeah, it's like that's what happens. That's how capitalism works. Money is ruining everything. Can I have some? I mean, that's...
yeah.
I think we all can accept that. Though, you can have those two thoughts at the same time.
Yeah.
You're ruining my life. Come here. So when I lived in New York for 2 years, when me and Melissa and Sammy lived in New York for 2 years, the city bike thing started there. And it was very clear where, like, from the where they put them down, that like they stopped like 10 blocks south of Harlem. You know what I mean? Like, it was just, they were not in Brooklyn at the time, you know. And so how do we deal with this, the idea that like there's things that like, oh, this is technology, we're all going to use bikes and we're not using cars anymore. And then also like, but also this is really just for the new white people.
Well, it seems to me like that's where you have to start talking about change, like as in the world is an organism and it needs to happen completely differently than that, like where, you know, like actively changing the system, who gets to use these bikes, teaching people this is the system here, you know, bringing them into high schools, like places where people, where you know, younger people could learn that this is a viable way to commute to and fro school, you know, just getting it, but getting it in a system in a way instead of slapping it on and being like, oh, we're so cool now. And I will say that I'm ready to use one of those bikes. I also got really excited, but it's weird that it has a Ford decal on it. Is it Ford sponsoring the whole thing?
Yes.
It does.
It's advertising fossil fuels and like car companies on the bike.
There's lots of concerns
that is
over like
the second cruelty of capitalism.
Well, wait, Becca, talk about that, Becca.
All I know is there's a lot of concerns about tracking stuff too, like where you're going on the bike and who's using the bike, because then they want to put like a shuttle service in or something
in
instead.
Because Ford is the company that Chariot gets their vans from. So when you see a bunch of Chariots showing up in your neighborhood as well, there you go.
You mean it's a van service called Chariot? It's not actually Chariot.
Yeah, it's called Chariot. Okay. And it's a private shuttle van company. They're all over SF right now. And there was proposed to be another bike station in the Mission. And that community said, absolutely not, because nobody's going to use these over here. And what it's going to do is draw Chariot in, which is not affordable for a lot of people in the city.
But if the people who could afford Chariot had to just ride on a Chariot with like wear togas and have horses, I'd be cool with that.
Yeah. They look like imperialist conquerors, right. Yes.
Well, here's
like,
the dress, thing, too.
Dress
because,
for what you are.
I think this is an environmental justice issue, because the reality is that the hoods of color here, West Oakland and East Oakland, you know that we have the highest rates of poor air quality because of the diesel buses, because of the port, because of refineries around us. It's just our communities are sick, so we need an end to the fossil fuel economy. And we also need infrastructure. Like, there's hardly any bike lanes in East Oakland, in my hood, in Fruitvale. So even if you do put something like a bike program, which we need, I mean, these bikes do belong. We should encourage people to bike. I mean, we need to, like, end our addiction to fossil fuels. But we also need infrastructure, because if I try, this is why I don't bike. If I try to get on a bike in Fruitvale, like I'm like, duh, 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 I can't even. There's nothing.
I picture you on like 880,
janky.
Like, ah!
The streets are so janky in Fruitvale. And not to mention, we definitely don't have bike lanes, right? So I'm just thinking, but it's not like that in Rockridge. I mean, the other day I was just thinking, you know what? Why is there? I'm always hearing police cars in East Oakland every single day. It's like part of what I hear. And in Rockridge, you don't have that shit. You know, they just...
That's such inequality. We're on the radio. I'm pretty proud of you that you went that long, but yes. You were feeling it, and I knew. I was like, yeah. But no. First of all, Fabiana, I want to ask, so when are you declaring your candidacy? I just want to know.
Serious.
I've gone on the record many times. I think you are an underutilized resource in the world. I feel like that what you do and what you put out there, and I don't know what city I want you to be the mayor of. Tell me. Okay, that's fine. Yeah. I just want to know so we can move into that city. That's what I'm saying. If it's Santa Rosa, we're there. I don't care. anything else over there, Becca?
Yes, no. There was one more thing. So this is another one on Facebook that's a lot of text, but I'm just going to read
a little bit. Oh, boy, here we go. So did my mom leave this Facebook message?
This is Shirin Razagar talking about, like, things we can do. What can we actually do to, I don't know, change anything presidentially, what have you. For me, the most critical steps to achieving, not restoring for obvious reasons, true democracy, all center around the right and the weight of our vote. And then says a lot, and then ends with, I'll defer to others on the best organizations to support on these points. I'm still doing research myself. So I was wondering if, like, maybe Francesca, you might know, like, some organizations kind of advocating for, like, voter access and, like, overturning Citizens United and, like, lobbying and all that.
Well, I do know that the progressive wing of the Democratic Party, you know, Sanders hasn't given up on the Democrats, but a lot of people want him to. But, you know, his Our Revolution and a lot of young folks, a lot of young millennials who are progressive millennials are pushing, especially, you know, it's thanks to them, people like all of us, Our Revolution, young folks like that, help me out with some of the other organizations.
Common Cause.
Right.
Mobilize the immigrant vote.
So I mean, And these are also the folks that we have to thank for shutting down the, you know, the repeal and replace of Obamacare this week, you know, and who risked arrest on Monday and days before. So I think it's happening. I don't want to, but it is a question, right? Do the Democrats like Schumer and Pelosi actually have that kind of like multi-platform vision? Are they even talking about Citizens United or getting dark money out of politics?
No, we cover. No. They're drinking red wine and thinking of funny things.
Yeah,
that's what they're doing.
In a cursive font.
Yeah, yeah. All right, thanks, Maya and Becca. A reminder that you've tuned into KALW, and this is Come Out Right Now. All right, give it up for Natronics! Before we go tonight, we need to check in with the people here at the New Parish. If we've been doing in 2017, we're doing things differently than Come Out Right Now. Instead of just asking your opinions or your problems, we're actually asking what do people need or want. It could be something you need right now in this room or something you need outside in the world. Give it up for our audience emissary, Jeremy Dalmas!
Hi, Come Out! Hi, everyone in the audience! There was a lot of different things that people needed. One person, Smita Joshi in Berkeley, said nothing, all good. So,
oh, that's nice.
Okay, that's nice.
I'm all good. I'm all good. Who's all good? Wait, just who's all good? Who said that? Wait, hold on. I want to talk to the person who's all good. I just want to find out what it is to be all good in 2017. And it's a woman of color, so I really want to know what's happening. Right here? Yes. What's your name?
Smitha.
Uh-huh. So you're all good?
Yeah, I'm all good.
And oh, is your daughter next to you?
That's my daughter.
She's all bad right now. She's like... She's like, Mom, I told you not to fill out the thing. She literally looks like, if I just put my head down, I will disappear from the planet. Not how physics works, sorry. So why are you all, what is good? We need to hear what's good. What's good with you?
Just the time of my life.
Okay, all right, that's good. I'll go with that. Is there anything specific you want to tell us about? If not, it's none of my business. I'll keep it moving.
I bought this house in Berkeley and it needed a new foundation. I was worried. I finished the new foundation.
You finished
it? My daughter graduated from Cal 4 years ago. She...
Does she have a neck problem that she can't only look down? Is she... Do we need to raise money for her vertebrae in the back of her neck?
My in-laws are visiting from India. I love them.
Oh, loves your in-laws. Me too, Melissa, who's here. My wife.
I'm in mid-50s. It's great.
Give it up for it. It's great to be in the mid-50s with a new foundation, a daughter who's a college graduate. What else we got, Jeremy? That made me feel good.
Oh, yeah. It's good to focus on the good sometimes. So we also have Antonio from Oakland, what does Antonio need right now? Baby stuff.
Baby stuff. Where's Antonio from Oakland? Where's Antonio from Oakland?
Right here.
Right here. Wait. Okay. All right. Here we go. There you go, Jeremy. Step in there. Antonio from Oakland.
Yes.
Antonio or Antonia?
Antonio.
Antonio. Okay, yeah. Antonio. So you need baby stuff. Are
yes.
Are you with child?
I'm pregnant.
Hey, man, it's the 21st century. I'm not tripping.
My wife is pregnant.
Your wife is pregnant. Give it up for her pregnant wife. How far along are we? Because that's how we say it when we're evolved men.
Yes.
We're all pregnant, right?
It's not in months, it's in weeks.
It's early.
Yeah, yeah. So you 23 weeks.
23 weeks. So do you have anything? What do you need? What's the thing you need?
Oh,
you,
man. A stroller.
A crib. Did you just find out today? You've got nothing. Did she just tell you when she felt you were emotionally able to handle it? Let me wait till the NBA season's over, and then I'll tell them about this. So you need all the stuff.
Almost everything.
Who here has extra baby stuff that they would like to get? Oh, and over here, we got over here. We got over here. We got over here. Go, Jeremy, go. We got over here.
I have a lot of baby stuff.
All right. What's your name?
Jesse.
Jesse, you have a lot of baby stuff that you're not that excited about, but you're willing to get part with the baby stuff.
Yes.
Are you willing to part? What do you got? What do you tell me what you got?
Baby clothes, swaddles, all kinds of stuff. I have a big boy. He's outgrown it all.
How old is he? Like 18, 19?
eight months old.
Eight months.
He's the size of like an 18-month-old. So.
Oh, I have kids like that. Yeah. They're right up there. So you're willing to give baby stuff to Antonio and his partner?
Yeah, come find me after the show.
Find it right there. Yay! Look at this. We're making it happen. This is like Oprah on a budget. All right. What else we got, Jeremy?
Okay, this one may not be so happy, and I think it's Mabel in Berkeley, the...
Oh, Jesus. Hopefully we didn't catch that excitement on the microphone, because we've had two of those so far. So
should I still read this? Well, I'll just read it, and then we can decide what to do after that. So Mabel in Berkeley is, what does Mabel need? For this fool to text me back.
For this fool to text me back. Mabel, can we talk to you about this fool?
Talk to me.
All right, talk to me.
No, okay. He's talking. I'm not talking yet.
No, this is how conversation works, back and forth. So when did you text this fool? Is that his name, this fool, or her name?
It is. No. Okay. Capital, yeah.
The ham guy? There's two.
Nope. We're
plausible.
Not.
We need plausible deniability. We need plausible deniability.
This is so, off the record.
This is only airing on the radio. It's fine. It's old technology. Like 15 people have radios. It's fine. So when did you text this fool?
I don't know. Maybe Tuesday? I don't.
Tuesday.
I know, right?
Okay, slow down. I got it, everybody. I got it.
Thank you.
I got it.
Thank you so much.
So here's what's important. What was the last text you sent? If you cut any X-rated things out of it.
Well, it was this picture of, like, my lunch.
Was there words, or was it just, like... Was there words with the picture?
Okay, there were words. And it was a reference to, like, our first date. So I feel like that was okay, right? Sentimental.
How long have you known this fool?
I mean, at least a month now.
Okay, in 2017, yeah. That's like 6 months. All right, so...
Yeah, it is!
Where did you meet this fool? By the way, I love saying this fool.
On the internet.
Oh,
I know!
It's 2017, that is not a big deal. Which site on the internet?
Coffee Meets Bagel.
Coffee Meets Bagel, they were on Shark Tank!
That's the good one!
That's the good one!
Yeah,
I'm a big Shark Tank fan, everybody. Sorry, I'm having
I know.
A... So... thank you. So you met this fool on Coffee Meets Bagel. You've been out on real live dates with this fool.
Yeah.
How many real live dates with this fool?
I don't know.
But like 20.
No,
oh, luckily
no.
we got your lawyer here giving up the evidence. 20 dates.
Sorry, would you like the microphone?
Okay, wait a minute. Hold on. Back there. We got somebody back there.
Girl, you are too good for him.
Go find you another man. There are more out there. You are beautiful. You are awesome. Like, DTMFA.
Drop that zero and get you a hero is what I'm hearing. Are you in any way, are you open to suitors who might be in this room? Okay, so she is open to suitors. Be respectful. Okay, if you're interested, we'll even put your picture on our Come Out Right Now site and let people know you're available. We can follow up with you. If you're interested in that. Is that something you might be interested in?
What picture?
Yes. We'll take a picture. We have a professional photographer here. He will make you look amazing. That's our show, everybody. Thank you! Social justice, a little bit of love connection. Thank you to our wonderful guests, Fabiana Rodriguez, Francesca Fiorentini, Meryl Garvis. Thank you to the New Parish and Whole Foods. The Come Out Right Now team is James Rollins, Andrew Farron, Dan Brandon, Maya Janelle, Jeremy Dalmas, Becca Hoekstra, Phil Circus, Max Jacobs, and Matt Martin, the guru Matt Martin. Music by Natronix. Come out right now is a production of KALW. For those in the audience, stay with us. We've got more show coming up. If you're on the radio, you can catch the rest of the podcast. So go subscribe to Come Out Right Now. I'm W. Kamau Bell. Thank you and good night.